Good evening. It is good to be here with each and every one of you this evening. I appreciate you coming out. Some of you haven't been here, I don't believe. There's one or two that I met that might not have been here through your search. We're happy that you could be here. We're happy to see all the ones that have been coming. And I hope that I can be worthy of your expectations to bring to you something that will enlighten us and help us to think more about why we're here on this earth. Before I start, you may have noticed we had the little camera up here taking a picture of you as we sung. And the reason for that was that when I go over to Malawi here at the end of this month, I want to take the pictures over there so that they can see us and hear our singing. Brother Harry can vouch for they sing so good. As we go there, they sing songs that we sing here, but of course it's in a different language. And we can kind of hum along with them, and they make so good melody as they sing. So they're so interested in the way that we sing, and they want to hear us. So I thought it'd be nice this time that we take this over there to them and let them see it. So they'll get to see and hear our singing. This evening, the lesson that I'm going to bring, there's a lot of people that don't really want to hear this. And it's not a doctrinal thing. But just most people don't want to talk about this subject that we're going to talk about. And I wish that there was a way that I could talk about it in a real gentle way. And I'm sure that there's probably some here that could do that a lot better than I. But I feel like that we really need to know and understand the subject that we're going to approach. And that is the subject of hell. You know, there's a lot of people that think it is a heaven, but they don't think it's going to be a hell. They say, God's too good to put everyone of these that, and burn them forever and ever. And that's just not going to be. It's just going to be a momentary thing. But heaven, they seem to think, is going to be there and last forever and ever. How mistaken they certainly are. One cannot exist without the other. We have to go to God's Word to know about these subjects, heaven and hell. There's no other book, none whatsoever, that is written that can truthfully tell us what hell is like or what heaven is going to be like. So tonight I want to bring to you some thoughts about how terrible hell is going to be and why we don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I know you don't. So it's not just a subject that's doom and gloom. I know that some, and again, probably don't want to hear it, but it's sort of like this. What if your house was on fire and I was driving down the road and I saw the house on fire? You'd want me to come and tell you and wake you up and tell you to get out of the house, wouldn't you? You'd probably hug my neck and be happy that I told you that. Well, I'm going to tell you this. If you go to hell, it's going to be far worse than your house being on fire. You are going to be the one that's burning. And it'll be a whole lot worse. So, the subject of this is maybe not a politically correct topic these days, but I'm going to tell you there's going to be many people that will go to hell. I got on the internet and pulled up a poll, or it's like the Gallup poll, and got to looking at it, and I didn't realize how many people were dying every minute. There's over 153,000 people that die every day on this earth. 153,000. That's a lot of people. That's about 1.78 per second. It's 107 per minute, 6,390 per hour, 153,000 per day, and 56 million per year that are dying. And most all of them are going to hell. We don't think about that, but You know, that's true. I know that there's a lot of young children that don't reach the age of accountability over in Malawi. 1 out of 13, I believe it is, that the mother and the child both die at birth. There's a good number of them will die before the first year of the children. It's bad. And I know that there's going to be a lot of children that won't be in that place called hell. But the biggest majority of those that reach the age of accountability, they're going to die and they're going to that place called hell. Hell is real. It doesn't matter what those might think about it and laugh about it and make jokes about it, what they think. Hell is real. I've heard people tell me, said, well, said, I know I'm going to hell, but when I get there, I'm just going to tear it up. They're making a joke of it. See, these people don't really understand just what hell is all about, how bad it is. They don't understand that. But we have a description, a chilling description of it in God's Word. And when we turn to it and look at it, we can see and understand. And tonight, I'm going to bring quite a few scriptures. And I promise you I won't keep you as long as I did last night. I went over some, so I apologize for that. But I want us to pay close attention to the scriptures that I'm going to put up here. And we're going to see that hell is a real place. We're going to get some scriptures that will show us how awful, how terrible that this place is. And in plain speaking, and that's the way I want to speak tonight, if you don't get on the stick and get busy and do what is right, that's where you'll wind up. You will wind up in that place, and that will be your eternal home forever and ever in that place called hell. Satan, the god of this world, he'll not always cause havoc here. His doom is going to be told in Revelation, the 20th chapter, and in Revelation, the 20th chapter and the 10th verse, here it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Did you know this? If you don't belong to Jesus, the man called Jesus, if you don't belong to him, you belong to Satan. It's plain and simple. That's the way it is. You don't have to be what we would call a card-carrying Satanist to be a worker for Satan. You don't have to be. You don't have to be a murderer, a rapist, or a thief. None of this. You don't have to be that. The only thing you have to do is turn your back on Jesus. And you're going to be working for Satan. That's all you have to do. Just ignore Christ. Ignore your responsibility to Him. If you don't have Jesus in your heart and in your life, I'm telling you, you're deceived. And you're hell bound. It's plain and simple according to the Scripture. And you're going to be a child of hell. A child of the devil. In 1 John 3:10. 1 John 3:10 it says, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. How many times have you heard someone say that a loving God is not going to put his creatures in hell? I've got news for them. God is not putting anybody in hell. None whatsoever. He's not going to do that. You put yourself there. See, Christ died for us. He died so that we wouldn't go there. He died on that cross for our sins. But if we reject Him, we're going to put ourselves there. He's not going to send us there. In Matthew 25:41, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. If you're a worker for the devil and not a worker for Christ, That's where you're going. You're going to put yourself right there. Men go to hell because they choose to go there. They choose the devil's way and reject Christ's way. It's plain. God is holy, and He's not going to allow any sin into His kingdom. It's plain. It's the teachings of the Scriptures. As a result, when a person dies, when they die in their sin, they're forever banished from the presence of God. From now on. And they're placed in that place called hell. And it's not a pretty thing. It certainly isn't. And something else. Incidentally, Satan is not going to be ruling in hell. Some people seem to think that he is. He's not going to be ruling in the lake of fire. He'll be screaming and hollering and carrying on just like everybody else that is there. And we find that, you remember in Revelation 20 and 10 that we've already read, that he's going to be tormented, the devil is, day and night, and all those that follow him. Think about this. God, out of the profound love of His heart, while we were sinners, He sent His Son here on this earth to die for us. Yes, He did. All we have to do is keep His commandments and avoid that place. He let His Son die in our place for our sins. Yes, Jesus wasn't a sinner. He didn't sin, had no sin. He didn't die for Himself. You know why they call Him the Savior? Because He saves us from hell. That's why He died. So, if we reject His sacrifice that He made, it shouldn't be hard to understand. It's pretty simple. That this same God that sacrificed His Son on our behalf, without a doubt, He will cast us into hell, won't He? We will cast ourselves there. He's prepared it for Satan and his angels and his workers. But if we work for Christ and we work and are obedient, then we don't have to worry. Just remember this, nothing unclean will ever enter in to God's heaven. And all those who choose not to obey are unclean. That's the teaching of the Scriptures. I know you don't have to go to hell. All you got to do to avoid going to hell is turn your face to Jesus. Turn your face to Him and get washed in His blood. See, His blood is what cleanses us from our sins. When we're obedient to Him and we die that death that He died, when we're buried in baptism, through the shedding of His blood, we can avoid hell. And that's all He's asking us to do. That's all He's asking us to do. He's asking us to do that and then be faithful. Turn your face to Him. In Isaiah 1 and 18, it says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Pure. The bride of Christ is without spot, is without blemish. Why is that? Because when we are buried in baptism, we are clean and purified and we come into the body of Christ. Our name is written in that book of life. And as long as we're faithful, we can avoid that place called hell. It's a terrible place. Jesus came to save us from that. And we don't need to lie and say that God puts people in hell. All you have to do is get right. That's it. Get right with Jesus and you won't go there. Let's look at Ezekiel 33 and 11. What says here? And read along with me on this. Because I do make mistakes in pronouncing words. Sometimes I've been said to kind of murder the English language. But please read around and correct, and you'll see the Scriptures are so plain what He's telling us here. "Say unto them, As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel?" You know, Jesus is asking us the same thing right now. Just turn from the things that are the world. Turn from this darkness into light. Purify yourself and become a member of the Lord's church. And avoid that place called hell. In 2 Peter 3:9, it says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but His long-suffering to us, were not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The Bible says that God loves you and I so much, that He sent His Son here, Jesus, to taste death on our part. For every man, for every woman. And He made it very simple, very plain. If we say yes to Jesus, hell's not our home. If we say no to Jesus, then we're hell bound. Plain and simple. That will be our eternal home forever and ever. Regardless of whether you believe it or not, hell exists. We know it does. We believe the Bible. The Bible has been proven over and over to be God's Word. There's no reason that we should doubt it. It is the only book that we can go to and find these things about heaven and hell. This inspired Word of God, and it's very plain. I've heard folks say that hell is not mentioned in the Bible, or hell is just the grave. I'm going to tell you, hell is real. There's scripture after scripture after scripture that tells us that. And in just a minute, I'm going to give you these scriptures, and we're going to go through them one right after the other and look at them and read so that you'll know. You don't have to take my word. Let's take a look and see what the Bible has to say. We're going through them and read along. Matthew 25:41. "Then shall He say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Revelation 14:11. It says here, "And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Revelation 20:12-15. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Pretty plain, isn't it? Matthew 10:28. "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Luke 12:5. "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear Him which after He hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear Him." Matthew 18:8-9. "Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed rather than have two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell." Matthew 25:46. "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." 2 Thessalonians 1:9. It says, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. These scriptures that we've read so far, does it sound like there's a hell? Doesn't it? I believe it is. I'm sure it is. Isaiah 66 and 24. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me, for their worm shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. Mark 9:44, where the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Jude 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Matthew 22:13. Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm going to stop right here. This gnashing of teeth, doesn't that really make you realize how bad hell is going to be? Have you ever seen somebody that had an arm amputated that didn't have any anesthesia? They couldn't put them to sleep or couldn't give them anything. They always stick something in their mouth and they bite down on it when they have to go through all that pain. That's what he's describing here. He's describing hell, how bad it really is going to be. Think about it. Matthew 13:41-42, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Revelation 21:8. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Psalms 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. All those that forget God. Daniel 12:2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. See, Jesus is going to come back at some point in time. And I've heard it said that, you know, it's near, it's going to happen within the next year or so. I've heard all kind of predictions. I do know this. The world is getting worse and worse and worse. It is not getting better. And at some point in time, He's coming back. And only God in heaven knows. Jesus doesn't even know. But He's coming back when He sends Him. And when He does, those of us that are here on this earth that have lived and turned our life over to Jesus and served Him, we're going to be caught up and we're going to that place called heaven. Those that turn their back on Him, those that do not obey the gospel, those that reject Him, those that have obeyed the gospel and then turned their back on Him, they're going to be in this place called hell, and they're going to burn forever and ever. You know, it's something that we don't really want to think about. See, we get caught up in life and all of these things that we have, all these goodies that we have in life, and we kind of forget about God. We come to church, we do that occasionally, and we think about it for a while, and then we go off, you know, and get away, and next thing you know, our mind's rolling and rolling around here with all these things of Satan. Satan is wanting somebody to go to hell with him. He sure is. And if we're not careful, we're going to be caught up in his snare and we're going there. I'm telling you, it is not worth taking the chance on living a life with Satan here on this earth. I'm telling you, it is not worth it. If you plan to correct it at some point in time, as many do, saying, well, I know I'm doing wrong, I know I'm not doing right, I'm going to get right sooner or later, that sooner or later may not come. Our life, we have no promise of tomorrow. If we understand the true meaning of what is going to take place in that place of everlasting punishment, don't you know we should wake up and we should obey and make sure that we don't go to that place. We don't have to go there. Remember, God's not going to send us there. We're going to send ourselves. There's some scriptures right here that we've heard many times, and I want to read them and make some comments on them as we go through it. Luke 16:19-31. We want to read these and see what they tell us. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Now he's talking about a rich man, and we don't have any record of this rich man being a drunkard or a man that cursed or a man that stole. None of that. He was a rich man, and evidently he was probably pretty popular in his day and time there. He fared sumptuously. Evidently he had a lot coming in. He had plenty. The purple and the fine linen meant that he was wealthy. It says here, and there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and designed to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Here was a man that didn't have anything. You know, he just didn't have nothing. He was laying there. He was a poor man. Had nothing. Asking just the crumbs from the rich man's table. You know, he'd been happy with what we probably threw away this evening if we ate supper just with what we threw away. Or what I left on my plate. Think about it. And what did the rich man do? It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man, he died also. That man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. They have gone here to this place called Hades, where paradise and torment is. And the beggar, he's in paradise, Abraham's bosom. Here's a rich man, he's in torment. And listen to what he says. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Is hell going to be bad? If one drop of water on the tongue would feel cooling to you. Don't you know that hell is going to be bad? But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which could pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest that they also come unto this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. how true it is. I wonder how many of our friends and possibly some of our family members have gone on and are in that position now, wanting somebody to come back and tell us. I hope that we have no family members that have done that, that have went to that place. But just can you imagine, when you pass from here and you get there and you're in all of that torment and you see back your children, your grandchildren, and know where they're going. Oh, it would grieve you. That would be enough misery, wouldn't it? But you'd be in a place where there's no rest. No rest, none whatsoever. I'm going to tell you this in plain terms, plain and simple. According to the Bible, if you believe the Bible, those outside the body of Christ are going to die and go to hell. I'm sorry, I wish it was different. I wish that it was different. I have friends in the world that I dearly love. I talk to them and I try to explain to them, but they won't listen. I still love them, but I hate their ways. I hate what they're doing and what they're holding to, but I can't do it for them. You know, and then when I'm gone, I can't come back and tell them, hey, this is real. You know, we need to wake up and make sure that we choose that place called heaven. Because life is short. Death is sure. The end's coming. I don't know how to give you a picture of what hell would be like. I've been around fires and at one point in time, and I got caught one time in a house with working with a volunteer fire department when I almost didn't get out. Fire was all around me. It was terrible. I got burned a little bit, not real bad, but I tell you, I give it up. I didn't want to go back. I didn't want to do that anymore. I wanted to do something different. Fire, to me, is one of the worst deaths that I believe a person could die. That is to me. I don't want to be burnt alive. But that's what's going to happen if I don't do what is right and pay attention to God's Word and live that Christian life that He asked us to live. What happens to a soul when they reject Jesus? Ever and ever and ever in that torment. That's what's coming. That's what's coming to all of us who will not turn our face to Jesus and say, Lord, I love you. I want to obey you and be obedient unto Him and be buried in that baptism. We hear the Word. We believe it. We repent of our sins and we confess Christ. He tells us if we don't confess Him now, we're going to confess Him in the end, the day of judgment. Oh, that day of judgment is not a day when we go to find out whether we're going to receive, you know, heaven or hell, unless we're still alive here on this earth. When we die, we're going to know where we're going, like the rich man and Lazarus. We'll know it. We'll be in that place called torment, or we'll be in that place called paradise, waiting for Jesus to come back. And if we haven't done what He's asked us to do, we're going to be in that place called torment. But, as I said, if we hear the Word and believe it, repent of our sins, confess Christ, we can confess Him now with our mouth. We won't have to do it then. We will have already done it. But if we don't do it here, the atheists and all those that don't believe in Christ, He says, every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that day. If we don't do it now, we'll do it then. But if we do it here, we can avoid hell. We can walk into the pearly gates. He'll tell us, our good and faithful servant, enter in. What a blessing, what a joy, what a privilege that's going to be. That's why we're here. That's the whole purpose that we're here. It's to live a life for Christ. Turn our life over to Him. All we got to do is make a commitment to Him. And when we do that, what a wonderful life it is. It's not a life that's hard. In fact, it's a really a good life. I put it this way. If there was no heaven in the end, no hell, it would still be one of the best lives a person could live here on this earth, living a Christian life. But we know that we have a reward coming to us because we believe in God's Word. We have faith. if we have obeyed the gospel. We can have our name removed out of that book of life, where those names are written. See, in Christ's kingdom, He will not allow any spots or blemish. You know, we may be a member coming to church, but we may have sins in our life so bad that our names have been stricken. His church, the Lord's church, is those that are pure and clean and are faithful. Do we sin? Yes, we do. Do we get forgiveness for them? Yes, we do. We do that every day. We ask. That's why He says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It's important that we go to Him and ask Him to forgive us. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is one that believes in Jesus and His Word, and we go to Him with our sins, and we try to put them away from us. Sometimes, you know, we really make big mistakes, and maybe our name got stricken out of that book of life, and we've done something against our brothers and sisters. If that happens, you know, what a better place to come and straighten that up and confess it than right here at the service where the brothers and sisters are. But if it's of a private nature, you know, there's no need of doing it publicly. Do it privately. Go to them and talk to them and straighten it out and ask forgiveness. Pray to God, and He will forgive you. And we all can enjoy that wonderful place called heaven, and we can avoid that place called hell. There's one here that needs assistance of the church. We'd be glad to assist as we stand and sing.